when I was 30 years old, I had saved enough money to buy my first house. It wasn't anything special, and honestly, all things considered, it wasn't in the best neighborhood either. But I was still proud of the accomplishment nonetheless. I'd met all the nearby neighbors in, I'd say, the first 2 weeks I moved in. Considering the neighborhood, I was surprised to discover they all actually seemed pretty nice. A couple of them even invited me over for dinner a few times. And having lived in different apartments all my life, this wasn't really something I was used to. Of course, they weren't all like this, however. Two houses down from the house I moved into lived a man that was probably 50 years old. Upon moving in, every other night or so, the dude would knock at my front door at some absurd hour asking for stuff. So, like, as an example, the first time it happened, he asked me if I had any spare bread I wasn't gonna eat. Another time, he asked me if I could fill up a bucket with water, because his was turned off. It was just random, but somewhat understandable things like that. But I drew the line when he started asking me for money. I figured I had no obligation to be constantly meeting this guy's needs. I mean, I had pretty much just met the dude. I had started opening the door to his knocks less and less, but this didn't seem to have any effect on the number of times he would show up. Fast forward to a night a few weeks later, and again another knock. I had planned to ignore it, like I had grown accustomed to doing by that point. But as I looked through the people, I noticed the guy looked distressed. Seeing this, I decided the right thing to do would be to open up the door. So, I did. I asked him what he needed, and what he responded with was not at all the type of response I was expecting. He asked me if I could come over and show him how to use his new grill. Now, this happened around midnight, which in my opinion was an extremely odd time to start grilling. But against my better judgment, I decided I would help him. I was pretty into cooking at that point in my life, and figured taking 10 minutes to show the guy how a grill worked wouldn't be the end of the world. I told him that I'd be over in a second, and that I just needed to put some shoes on. He thanked me and started walking back. A couple minutes later, and I made my way over to his house. I opened some gate and walked into his backyard. It was dark, so it was hard to see, but it was clear there was no grill. On top of that, the guy was nowhere in sight. Although his back door was wide open, I stuck my hand inside and yelled out for the guy.
"Yeah, I'm down here. I need your help getting some meat from the freezer."
The muffled response came from down a set of stairs just to the left of me. I was hesitant to go down. There were no lights on down there. In fact, there wasn't a single light on throughout the whole house. I yelled down the stairs, asking him if he could turn on a light so I could see. There was silence for a few seconds. Eventually, he responded.
"No, they're broken. I can't do that."
I knew something was off at that point. I yelled back something like,
"I think I'm just gonna go, man."
I kid you not, the second after I said this, audible footsteps started sprinting up the stairs. My flight reaction kicked in immediately. I ran directly back to my house and locked the door behind me. I pulled back a set of curtains and looked out one of my windows, but I didn't see anything. I was terrified. I thought about calling the police, but decided against it, figuring I really wouldn't be able to prove anything that just happened. For the next few days, I didn't leave my house for anything except work. During those days, I never saw the guy, nor did any late-night knocks occur. Exactly 1 week after it happened, I was talking with my neighbor across the street. The conversation eventually landed on what I experienced, and how I was planning to move because of it. But I was just met with a look of confusion. I was then informed that no one lived in the house I was talking about. It had been abandoned for 2 years. This prompted my neighbor to call the police. However, the police would find nothing inside or around the house. I moved out a few weeks later, so that's all I know. I'm not sure if anything else came from the situation or not. I still don't know who that guy was, or what he was trying to lure me into. This happened during the summer before my sophomore year in college. At that time, I was doing a lot of research for a place I could live during the coming school year that was close to campus. I found multiple good-looking apartments, but all of them were way out of my budget. I quickly figured out that if I wanted to live close to campus, I would need a roommate that could help pay each month's rent. I posted an ad on Craigslist explaining my situation, hoping someone would be interested. Not even an hour after I posted the ad, I got a response. Apparently, it was some older lady in her 70s. I was kinda expecting it to be another student from my university, but I figured it didn't really matter. As long as they were willing to pay half of the rent, I didn't really care. Plus, I didn't get any further responses in the next week, so I took the one opportunity I was given. Fast forward to the start of the school semester, and the two of us moved in. She introduced herself as Dorothy. She was short and had white hair. Although a little quiet, she seemed nice. I figured we'd get along fine, so I wasn't too worried about the coming months. A few weeks passed, and I never really saw her that much. We had the occasional small talk conversation when we were both in the kitchen, but that was about it. For the most part, she would spend all of her time in her bedroom. Occasionally, while I was watching TV in the living room at night, I would hear this high-pitched giggling coming through the walls. The first few times it happened, I just assumed she was on her phone or something. But then I realized I never actually heard her talking. It was just her giggling. I couldn't imagine what she was doing. Over time, things just kept getting weirder. For example, she would start coming out of her room for no other purpose than to watch me. She would stand in the kitchen or hallway just looking at me while I watched TV or made myself dinner. Needless to say, I was getting more and more uncomfortable around her. One night, I woke up at around 3 a.m. to the sound of slight knocking on my bedroom door. Not knocking like trying to get my attention, but slow, soft, and barely audible knocking. I yelled out Dorothy's name, and right as I did, the knocking stopped. I knew it was her, because shortly after, I heard her same giggling, followed by footsteps walking back to her room. I'd be lying if I said this didn't freak me out. I didn't have a lock on my door, so nothing was stopping her from coming into my room while I was sleeping. I didn't sleep at all the rest of that night. I had planned on confronting her about the situation the next day, but she never left her room once. Come night again, and I decided to move my desk in front of my door as a makeshift barricade. Again, I didn't have a lock on my door, and I did not feel comfortable having nothing stopping her from entering my room. 3 hours later, and I woke up to the sound of my desk being hit by my door from someone attempting to open it. It was Dorothy. I could see her eye peeking through the crack of the slightly open door. Before I could even say anything, she started screaming and banging on my door. My desk started to give way, so I got out of bed and held the door closed myself. The screaming and banging went on for 2 more minutes. Once it finally stopped, I got up and called the police. When they arrived, I opened the door to my bedroom, and my heart dropped. Every single one of the knives from our kitchen had been stabbed into the door. I was absolutely horrified, but I tried to compose myself. I briefly explained the situation to the two officers that arrived. I also told them which room Dorothy was in. She would provide a struggle in being detained, but they would ultimately take her away. The next month, I would move to another apartment. This time with some actual students from my university. I still don't understand what made Dorothy do what she did. My best guess is she had some severe untreated condition she wasn't on medication for. But then again, maybe not. Maybe she seriously intended to use those knives on me in my sleep. But because I took the precaution of pushing my desk in front of my door, I luckily didn't have to find out. This experience happened to me when I was only 10 years old. Being that it was so long ago, I don't remember every small detail, but I'll do my best to keep everything as accurate as possible. Back then, I lived in a considerably remote area in the US. Neighboring houses were a good half mile apart. Therefore, while my family had met a couple of our neighbors, many of them were complete strangers. This included the resident of the house to the left of ours. I don't remember his name, but it was an elderly man that lived there. He was creepy to say the least. All of the windows on his house were spray painted so that no one could see inside, and his whole yard was completely overgrown. I know all this because every Monday through Friday I had to walk past his house to get home from school. Every time I did this, the man would either be standing on his porch watching me or trying to make conversation with me as I walked by. It got to the point where I dreaded walking home from school just because I'd have to walk past him. But this wasn't even the worst of it. Maybe once or twice a month, the guy would make the half-mile walk to our house in the middle of the night. He would then shine a flashlight into the window of my room. I knew it was the same guy too, because one of the times I witnessed him walking down the road towards our house. Looking back, this was 100% extremely alarming behavior. But at the time, I thought the best way of handling it was just to ignore it. therefore I didn't tell my parents about it. I also remember reasoning that my bedroom was on the second floor, so it's not like he was able to see much of inside my room anyway. Skip to a summer night in that same year, and I was once again woken up by the light of a flashlight shining in my room. Though, this time it was followed by a subtle thud sound against the wall. It felt like my heart had stopped. The only thing running through my mind in that moment was how it sounded exactly like a ladder being propped up against the side of the house. Not long later, my suspicions would be confirmed. A knocking sound rang out from the glass of the window. I looked over and was met with the smiling face of the man gesturing me to open the window. But no, I screamed and ran to my parents' bedroom. I desperately explained to them how the neighbor was outside my window. They went in my room, but of course he was gone by that point. The worst part is, they didn't even believe me, chalking it up to me seeing things. Therefore, the police were never called. But even now as an adult, I know exactly what I saw. I try not to think about the intentions that guy had towards my 10-year-old self. I never saw him again after that. In fact, not even a week after the occurrence, and his house had a for sale sign up next to it, which to me serves as further proof that it was him. I've lived in many different places since then, and not one neighbor comes even slightly close to how creepy that man was.